This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this March. Breakdowns of every region and every game, who are the Cinderellas, and which team's cutting down the nets. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app, wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the Extra Point Show from the Just Call Jed Studios. Injured? Call Jed.com. WGR Sports Radio 550.
Welcome back. Hour number two of the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Derek Kramer, Zach Jones, Josh Schmidt on the board, working it the way that he do. The Secretary of Mulch, as I heard this morning on the morning show. Love that. Love that for you, by the way. Secretary of Mulch.
I have entered the cabinet.
Yes.
Oh, the bullpen.
The bullpen cabinet, a Secretary of Mulch. And I got to say, I love what the bullpen does day in and day out.
I have a lot of fun.
And I wish that I had a show interacting with them.
It's a lot of fun. Quite 6 frankly. To 10 in the mornings with Jeremy and Joe, 3 to 7 with Shope and the Bulldog. I think it's predominantly on – we're on Twitch and YouTube.
Yes.
It's predominantly on YouTube.
Yes.
It's just a lot of fun. It's – we were talking about it. It's a lot like the text board, but like everyone else can talk to each other.
But this is what I mean. Like, we broke social media, except for that.
Except for that.
As a society, we've broken most of social media except for that. Stream chats are the way to go.
Yeah.
And but
although I'll have to start worrying about my appearance more, and I don't really want to do that.
Yeah, I mean, we got into radio so that we didn't have to worry
about
that.
I wear hats a lot.
Yeah.
I sometimes take a little while to shave.
I'm wearing a Purdue hockey jersey right now.
I love that, though.
It is drip personified, though.
I
love this thing. But of course, this is the day I pick a hockey jersey out, and people are walking around in the studio. I don't know what's going on. There's some random tours happening.
Yeah.
And I don't know. It's like the Christmas party when like Mike and Chris are working the last hour of their show.
Yep.
And people are like, they're being given tours. And I feel like a zoo exhibit animal.
Yeah. A part of me kind of likes it, though. Like, I do the nightcap, like, during it, and, like, just having people, like, watch me as I'm talking to myself.
Yeah, that
I don't know. Part of me's like,
okay. In years past, that's absolutely what I did with the party.
Like, all right.
But today, on March 26th, in the morning, people are being given a little bit of a tour, and I'm just like, should I just, like, make an animal noise or something? Like,
just stare people in the
eye. What does the fox say?
Oh, no, we're not doing that again.
It says that, actually.
We're never doing
it's
that
It's chirping
again.
Like a bird.
I feel like that wouldn't be good, though, for the company where, like, everyone's like, yeah, like, there's this weird guy. He just, like, just made an animal noise. It looked me right in the eyes. Like, I don't know what that's about. It's probably not good. That's where we get an email from, like, HR, and they're like, guys, we got to have a meeting. And you're like, damn, foiled again. The animal noise got me again.
Stop making animal noises at the people that we're bringing in for tours. You're freaking them out.
It's a lot of one of those things where it's like, don't climb this. You're like, all right, so somebody definitely climbed that, and that's why this is there.
I'm probably
company-wide email, don't make animal noises. Okay, well, somebody made animal noises. Got it. Thanks. Yep. Thanks for giving company secrets.
Don't drop coffee on lap. I'm that guy.
Don't be the reason we have a safety briefing.
Bingo.
Oh, I failed that so many times. Josh. I used to work in retail. Oh, my God. There was one place in particular, Schmoffice Depot, and... I had four incident reports.
How?
Oh. I fell off like one of those like walking ladders, like the stair ladders.
Yeah.
I tried reaching behind for something, and everyone else just heard plastic tubs crashing.
That's not ideal. That's not ideal.
I had one on my third day working there.
Dude.
I tripped over a pallet. How do I trip over a pallet? By carrying so much paper that I could not see
That'll do it.
And then effectively, I got hip-checked.
My goodness.
Yeah, I am the danger.
Ugh. 803-0550, the number two call. We're talking a lot of Diggs in the first hour, kind of his, I guess mainly how his exit should be sort of perceived by Bills fans, where he is now, especially him going to an AFC East rival in the Patriots, a three-year, $69 million contract, $26 million of that is guaranteed. We also, though, right there at the end of the first hour, talking about the NFL draft, and I know this has been a topic throughout the week, and I think last week, I was off last week, but I know it's been a topic for few years, the idea of the Bills trading up, even a massive trade up to go get a player. I've mentioned it a lot. I am probably more on the Mike Schoepp train of thinking, which is you probably should never trade up. I'm willing to do small ones here and there. Go get the player that you want rather than a player that falls to you. If that player that you want happens to fall to you, perfect. Not everyone has to trade up or down. There's people that stay at their position and are fine. And the Bills do have 10 picks this year. And they're a talented roster, albeit a lot of needs on defense, but they likely won't be adding 10 rookies to their roster. That
10 is a lot for a team that was just in an AFC championship.
Yes. Yeah. Is it impossible? No. Just
unlikely.
I would say unlikely, yeah. Now, on that point, I've mentioned kind of my desire. I know it's a deep defensive tackle class. I love the idea, though, of a small trade-up, maybe to 25, you know, what have you. Not a huge trade-up, but enough to where, okay, you can go get a guy like a Kenneth Grant. Going from 30, where you're picking now, Houston at 25, they have to sort of rebuild their offensive line. I know another team that is really big in terms of, I've seen a lot of people talk about, you know, a trade-up candidate, or, well, trade-down candidate for them, Minnesota. I think they have like four draft picks this year. You yes. mentioned a lot with Tennessee. Now, they're all the way up, but they might be a team, if it weren't for Cam Ward, they trade down because they desperately need draft capital. Minnesota, sort of the same thing. But it could be for a number of different positions. You mentioned you're a huge Nick Emmanuel fan, the safety out of South Carolina.
That has become my guy.
Yep. I've also mentioned, too, while I don't love the idea of cornerback, if Jahdae Barron out of Texas is available at 24, he's a player if they got, I'd be thrilled.
You can move up with the bevy of fifth and sixth rounders you have.
Yeah. Now, realistically, you know where I think the trade actually comes? Because I think they're trading up somewhere.
Right.
I think it's probably in the second round. To go get a guy who yes. maybe they had a higher second round grade on or a late first round grade on
because
that happens
to
be there and they're like, go get him.
Because their picks are in 56 and 62. That's late in the second round,
yep.
both of them.
Yep.
Because Minnesota apparently decided to want to do us no favors and be good for some reason.
I will never forget us having the conversation with Ugh. Sal while he's at the combine
never
last
Never forgive
year.
Them for this.
Was it the combine or maybe the owners' meetings last year, but him even going like, look at Minnesota. Like, they could be terrible. And it was not like any of us thought he was wrong. I think most of us agreed. Yeah, they could be terrible.
They were setting
Sam
up
Sam Darnold's their quarterback.
They were setting up to be not good.
Not good. All they do is win 14 games.
Casually, Sam Darnold just walks in and wins 14 games with the Minnesota Vikings. Jets fans are up in arms like, where was that?
I think what was like October 1st, we're all like, cool, so Vikings are going to be great. That second round pick's going
to
be effectively
a third. But then you see that he's throwing to
Justin Jefferson,
Jordan Addison, T.J. Hawkinson. All the sins.
That's yeah, all the sins.
All
yeah.
the sons. All the sons. Heck, I'm going to get on a tangent. So, moving up in the second round, absolutely. But what does Buffalo love to do also? They love getting themselves back into the third round.
Yeah, they do.
Love doing that.
They've not made a lot of fourth round picks in their in the Brandon Bean McDermott era.
And which is weird because they've crushed those.
Mm-hmm.
Sal put out a spreadsheet of all the picks that they've made by round and like ranking them. And you look at the fourth round and go, wait, is Ray Davis really the one that's
the low point?
The low point of the fourth round? Like, yeah, Gabe Davis didn't get a second contract, but like
did with somebody else though. He did with somebody else.
Taron Johnson. Also a fourth
round. Taron Johnson, yep.
Yeah. So like they don't make a lot of fourth round picks, and I look at his track record and go, why?
That round's pretty good for you. Because ultimately, like the Gabe Davis,
because that's
he
where
priced
your
you out.
Like that's where your day two guys start falling,
mm-hmm.
And they're in the fourth round. Like, go get them.
You did make a mention though of the third round too. They've been fantastic there.
They love the third round, and they typically kill it.
Sal ranked it: Spencer Brown, Terrell Bernard, Harrison Phillips. Another guy didn't get a second contract with you. I think he's still on Minnesota.
He also priced him like he was priced.
He priced himself out. Dawson Knox did get a second contract with the Bills. Arguably kind of was good enough where some people were questioning why exactly they took a tight end like Dalton Kincaid at the time.
It was because of Kenneth.
Yes. Singletary, good, not great running back.
For a third round pick.
But solid for a third round pick. Also, what if he has the offensive line the Bills have now? The last 2 years where James Cook's been able to have a very good success.
I mean, his physical traits have a
right
solid ceiling.
Probably not great, but maybe good enough to where you're like, hey, no issues with him at all.
Yep.
Zero issues. Then Dorian Williams. He had people questioning how valuable Matt Milano was, I think egregiously, but he's been very good for them, especially as a depth linebacker.
Didn't he finish leading the team in tackles even though he got like no starting reps at the end of the year?
I believe he did. Zach Moss, who is an NFL running back. He had a few good games with Indianapolis.
You can do a hell of a lot worse than that on your third round.
Yep. And then Dwayne Carter, only because he was a rookie last year and got hurt for a majority of the second half of last year.
Yes.
They've been very, very good in the third round.
Yes.
And I think it's a good point to bring up of like maybe that also could be something. Do they trade back?
They also
in this year's second round, get back in the third round, maybe get a pick for next year,
maybe
something
add,
like that,
or maybe add a fourth.
Add a fourth.
You do good with fourths.
Do come good on. With fourths.
Come on, man. Come on. Fall back into the third round. You get a fourth in return.
Their worst round is the first round though.
And that is,
I think, like objectively, their worst round is the first.
It's also the one where the highest expectations are to be paid.
Yeah.
You think about it, like we were mentioning, like how well that third round is there.
Mm-hmm.
If I were to say those are first round picks, what's the stigma at that point?
Oh, they get starters everywhere.
And the thing is that if we look at the third round track record, Devin Singletary is an unforgivable selection.
Mm-hmm.
If it was a first rounder.
Do I want to say the first round is their worst?
But that's the thing is that.
No.
Expectation and stakes have something to do with it.
I'm going to go second round, by the way. I'm changing my thoughts. Second round is their worst.
Yes, because like as bad as Kyer Elam ended his tenure as a Bill, he was playable every now and then.
Cody Ford and Boogie Basham straight up weren't.
Cody Ford and Boogie Basham were off the team before their contracts expired.
Yeah.
And the second round is supposed to be just as heavy.
Mm-hmm. Man, I mean, if they can improve this year, and I think that's maybe the most fun thing about this year's draft. If you're a Bills fan, fun, depending on your word, for fun.
Draft's always fun for me, baby.
I love it. I mean, I'm a junkie, you know that.
Yes,
but you have three picks in the first two rounds. On a
that's
team,
where the fun begins.
Yeah, and on a team, an organization that you can question how well they've done in the first two rounds the last few years, but now very quickly. Especially, you have a lot of needs on defense, and this seems to be a very good defensive draft class. Very quickly change that perception. Or you can just solidify it and have a lot of people, I think including myself, kind of questioning what the future is with Brandon Bean as the general manager. Not necessarily saying fire him, but you do have to start maybe questioning, like, okay.
How good are you really at
this? Like where are we at in terms of this first, second round thing? Like those need to be day one starters, even on great teams.
Yes.
And you're not doing it. And again, I'm not saying necessarily fire them, but you do have to start kind of looking at it going, okay, where's the disconnect? Because like we've just mentioned, third and fourth round.
Slappers only.
Dude, you're getting starters everywhere. Spencer Brown's one of the better right tackles in the NFL. Boom. Dorian Williams, a great depth linebacker. Boom.
Yeah, when it comes to depth picks, it's a game of 007, slappers only.
But rounds one and two, it kind of has gotten to a point where
that hit rate is worse.
It's tough. I mean, Osiris Torrance, I've mentioned him. I would have taken him in the first round of that draft class, by the way, too. So getting him in the second, I thought was wonderful. He's been a day one starter at right guard.
And you need more of that.
Mm-hmm. But AJ Epenesa, I mean, even the day he was drafted, it was kind of like a low ceiling, maybe even low floor. I don't really know what's going to – I mean, effectively to take a redshirt year to kind of get up to weight.
Yep.
And then since then, he's kind of been like a solid, not great piece.
It's been fine.
James Cook, running back, it's kind of always tough to judge them because you don't really always want to give them second contracts. At least it seems to appear still that way.
Yes, and also last year was, I don't want to call it an anomaly, but an obscurely high amount of touchdowns.
Yes. Where you can almost sort of expect, like, that's going to dip, right?
Yeah, it has to.
Like, he's not going to hit, what, 16 again? 18 total?
Considering the year prior, was it
two?
Two.
Yeah. Probably more around eight.
Yeah.
Which is still a great year. But when you just barely get past 1,000 yards rushing on a team that runs the ball more.
Yeah.
It's not great. Keon Coleman, who is sort of a lightning rod topic for a lot of Bills fans.
It's year one. Can we calm down on that, people?
But even looking at year one, he had some flashes. I've mentioned a lot the Seattle game and how that was sort of eye-opening of like, oh.
He makes the extraordinary look ordinary, but then he makes the ordinary look hard.
And he didn't have a great jump ball rate.
Yes.
So even though he had some pop plays, it still wasn't like a horribly efficient play.
It wasn't
them.
A guarantee.
Yeah, where when he was drafted.
There were plays that he made on those jump balls sometimes where it was like, okay, that's badass.
But
you dropped a slant pass and it was intercepted and taken the other way.
Yep. Then you go to Cole Bishop, who, whether it's fair to him or not, he needs to be a starting safety this year for the Bills. The entire year outside of injury. And he needs to show that, okay, that's done. We'll worry about a second contract here in the next few years.
Yes.
Whether that's fair to him or not, he was a second-round pick at safety. That needs to happen.
You need hit rates.
Because
you don't want another Cody Ford or Boogie Basham pick.
Bingo. First round still going there at Oliver. It's tough, but for him, you need a space heater to get the most out of him.
You need a compliment to him. Yes.
And then Greg Rousseau, I think, is good, a bit underrated. It's just a shame his worst game maybe of his Bills career was the last game of this year.
Yeah.
He was a terrible edge setter and run defender in the AFC Championship, which is strange because that's typically the best thing he is at.
It's actually the strongest asset of his game, and he had the worst time doing it.
Dalton Kincaid, I simply don't know where to go with him. I really don't. I think there is a disconnect between him and Allen in terms of where his routes need to end, where he needs to be when the ball is thrown.
I also just don't think Allen utilizes his tight ends as much as Ken Dorsey wanted him to.
And maybe even Joe Brady wants him to.
Yeah.
Also, man, can you make a convincing catch? There's been way too many times either he's dropped it or it's just like a...
And consider the last time we saw him. It is a catchable ball.
That he goes, it goes right through his hands.
Right through.
Right, well, kind of hits his chest, goes right through. And then Elam, who we were all pumped they traded a first-round pick and got anything.
Yes.
I mean, that's not good.
It's, you need more spectacular hit rates from your round one and round two picks.
Mm-hmm.
Because you haven't had a spectacular one since in the first round for a long time.
Since your first one.
Yes. Since your first one. Even the one that was right after that did not get a second contract with you. Got overpaid by Chicago.
But now Bears fans will tell you the exact same thing Bills fans were telling you when he went there, which is he's good, not great. He's more frustrating than...
He's never going to make you a play.
Yeah.
He'll do enough for you to survive, but he's never going to make you a play.
Yeah.
The fact that a third-round linebacker immediately goes ahead and transcends that whole lack of causing turnovers issue should tell you something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. 803-0550. Thoughts on this year's draft, what the Bills need to do, what you'd like to see them do. We'll start this segment here with Kevin on the line. Kevin, how are we doing today?
Good. How are you?
Doing very well.
We could skip
good,
Kevin,
I wanted
by
to
the
talk
way.
About James. I wanted to talk about James Cook just for a second. What's up, Derek? I know he's asking for $15 million. If the Bills are not forthcoming in paying the $15 million, do you think perhaps they could consider moving him around and possibly even considering trading up in the draft? I mean, I don't know if they're going to pay $15 million, but I just wanted to get your thoughts on being if they won't even entertain that idea.
Yeah, Kevin, thanks for the call.
I'll call you later.
I actually don't know how much the Bills will be into paying him, because look, we've already kind of seen there is somewhat of a different feeling around running backs. Running backs are starting to get bigger contracts again, so maybe there is sort of this shift that we saw a few years ago. But can the Bills afford it? And really, as I brought up, he barely got over 1,000 yards on a team that ran the ball a lot. And he had to do it in the last game of the year when they didn't really have to play for anything. No, is 1,000 yards everything? No. But in an era where Derrick Henry,
Saquon
Barkley,
if you want to get paid $15 million a year,
Getting paid that money, that's not great. In terms of trading him, I think this is the worst year to do it. Purely for the fact of, look at the draft class, and we talk about defensive tackle being deep. This running back class is beloved by every draft expert I've seen. Now, Genty's the top guy, and then it's like 10 to 15 guys that they're like NFL running backs.
Now, ready? What if I were to say you could get that for... What if I got a day two pick out of James Cook instead of a trade up? More or less, like, you're hitting the reset button on the running back room, and you're going to use one of these picks in day two to do that.
I think you're taking advantage of a bad team who is desperate to put bums in seats. You know, using the shores.
That's more or less what I would want to do in that sense.
But there's so many guys available. Rather than be, as I mentioned, Genty at the top, he's gone in round one. Hampton out of North Carolina, the Ohio State guys, Dylan Sampson out of Tennessee, Caleb Johnson out of Iowa. There's so many guys that it will just be like, do I want to go the cheap route, especially a day two guy where it's going to be a much cheaper contract, or get James Cook on a quote-unquote, you know, depreciating asset, because running backs are more than almost
always
any position.
A depreciating asset.
Yeah, they're the most like buying a new car. The moment you drive it off the lot, the value completely disappears. I'm going to get him at 26, no, 25, and then probably have to immediately pay him. And all of a sudden now I'm sitting there going, cool, I'm not even getting the cheapest years of him. I may not be getting the best years out of him.
And considering that 30 is typically a hard cap for running backs.
Yeah, unless you're Derrick Henry, which you should not be comparing any running back you have to
Derrick Henry. I believe to this day, and will continue to until the end of my days, that Derrick Henry was constructed in a laboratory.
Probably. And Tennessee kind of botched how they used him for like the first year, by the way.
Yes.
Never forget that.
Absolutely, 1,000%.
So yeah, he was 25 this year. Now, ultimately, he had less attempts this year than last year in terms of rushing. He had just over 200. So I don't want to – again, I don't want to bash –
he was still efficient. The per carry is still very good.
I don't want to bash the 1,000 yards. Yeah, his yards per attempt were 4.9. That's very good. But again, his value is depreciating. You're going to get him now more expensive, and you're heading towards the end of his career. Now, I do think, though, the NFL's maybe leaning more towards, hey, the cap keeps going up. Maybe we can give running backs a second contract. But like you've mentioned and I mentioned, $15 million, when it puts you in the ballpark of Saquon Barkley and Derrick Henry,
yep,
not good. And I think that's maybe where the disconnect is. I also don't think he's necessarily going to get that money. We've seen all the time running backs go to the open market
get humbled.
Le'Veon Bell is maybe the perfect example where he sat out an entire year because Pittsburgh wouldn't give him what he wanted. He goes to the Jets. It works for 15 minutes, and his career, gone. He's more of a rapper now than anything.
Oh, God. Is he, though?
And it's ultimately what happened. I mean, it happens all the time. Again, Derrick Henry and Saquon Barkley might just be the outliers. Saquon Barkley, when he was coming out of Penn State, was considered that anyways as one of the best running back prospects we'd seen since like AP. Henry is 6'3", 240 pounds, and runs like 4'4". That's horrifying.
And Derrick Henry did not reset the running back market in free agency.
That's right. Yep.
So that goes to show you just how valued they are in free agency. They're not.
Yeah. It's more just... Ultimately, offensive line means more, I think.
It does.
Honestly, it's the least sexy pick you can make in a draft, or the least sexy, you know, free agent sign you can make. But likely, it's probably one of the smartest you can make.
It's the most impactful.
The offensive line. Yeah.
It's not even the smartest.
Look
at the
Bills the last few years. They keep adding guys, by the way. Like, they have their starting five pretty much locked down.
But they're never done.
They keep adding guys. They keep going in the late rounds, get a guy who is, you know, high potential, low floor. Let's see if we can work him. Aaron Cromer, what can you do? Cedric Van Pran Granger, the center out of Georgia.
Yes.
There were a lot of Bills fans at training camp going, if he's not the starting center by, you know, halfway through the year, this is malpractice. Weren't saying it by then, but there was feelings there of like, hey, and get him in.
More or less, they're saying that because what do you mean? I've got a guard shuffling into down to center.
Right, right.
Like, is that the best idea? And it turns out, yes, it was, actually. Thank you very much, Connor McGovern. Great job. But I'm not expecting Connor McGovern I'm not expecting McGovern to be here in 3 years, though.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to make future investments. You keep making future investments. As a matter of fact, you keep drafting it so that you have depth. Spencer Brown misses the KC game in the regular season. Bills are just fine.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That too. I mean, they've been healthy, but Spencer Brown being out and then being fine, or at least solid, gave you a lot of like...
It's confidence.
Confidence. Good feelings that like they're putting together a good unit. And that's where, for me...
If I need to deal with injury,
mm-hmm.
is my mega superstar investment getting injured because I lost my left tackle for a game?
Yeah.
Or I lost my right guard. Is there a major problem here? And the answer is absolutely not. Keep throwing picks at the big boys. Let people like me represent.
The other side of the beef wagon.
Yes.
The other side of the beef wagon.
Beef is beef, baby.
But that's the thing is, so I'm okay if they take a running back next year in the third round, or if they want to this year in like the fourth. And all of a sudden, then you're looking at going, we have Ray Davis and this young guy and a year left of James Cook. I'm fine with that. I think the Bills have proven they kind of, they have figured out how to work that running back offensive line room really, really well. 803-0550, the number to call. We got a number of people on hold. We'll get to you guys after a quick timeout. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer here on the Northtown Automotive X Point Show. And this is WGR.